Good morning, church family. How's everybody doing? Good? Wonderful. Now, I know I mentioned this before, but it bears repeating. There are 4,200 religions in the world, but there is only one empty tomb. There's only one man who conquered sin, death, and hell forever. And there is only one way to heaven. That is Jesus Christ. Let us pray. May we offer our commitment to honor you, O Lord. May you bless this church congregation and Fred today as we give you praise. And may we offer our obedience and undying love to you as we celebrate your holy name, Jesus, in song and worship. Amen.
With that, if our worship team can come on up, I'm so thankful that our ladies come and lead us in worship, just praising God and all he does.
Who can stop the Lord Almighty? If you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. You've got pain. He's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, the saving, he's a prison shaking. Chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of the day and the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know that just ain't right. And there's a better life. There's a better life. You believe it. You receive it. You can feel it. Testify, testify. You believe it. You receive it. You can feel it. Somebody testify. You got pain. He's a pain.
This morning. I don't know about anybody else, but I needed that today. You are perfect in all of your ways.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
God is so good. I do enjoy the fellowship. I was just sitting up here watching our congregation talking to each other, loving on each other, and how powerful that is. I love it. It's a beautiful thing. All right. I do. I like that part because I believe that's what God does with us as well. And who God wants to be with us. The hardest part of this is in our identity in Christ is knowing that the God that created this universe, that created this world, came into the world as God-man to bridge a gap between us and God. Originally, we're given the law. The confusing part of the law is that you read through the Old Testament and yet you see people with relationship with God. And he always referenced that he enjoyed our fellowship, our relationship, more than he did the sacrifices. But we are a people of rules and laws. We like rules. Somehow it makes us feel better and we're so used to that. We're ingrained in it. We have rules growing up in the house, so it's really nothing new to us. And yet God has another way to help us draw close to him. And that is knowing who we are in Jesus. So, Heavenly Father, we just come before you. Lord, this church was absent your spirit until the first person walked in through this door. Because you promised that you have put your Holy Spirit in us. And that is the only way we can survive in relationship with you. We're thankful for that. Lord, in a struggling world, and we see so many different things going on that are very heartbreaking, heart-wrenching, and yet, Lord, you approach us in a personal relationship. We thank you for that, Father. Continue to renew our minds that we may serve you and follow after the things that are important to you. And I do appreciate, Father, that you made us who we are, so you want us to come to you as we are. You don't want us to change and be somebody else, but you want us to be us with you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so how do we view ourselves? That's a big question. And I've come to Jesus when I was 16 years old in a household that did not go to church. In fact, if anything, it was a little bit opposite. My dad was into some occult stuff. And so it was a pretty tough place to be. He did love us, but he just didn't know how to have relationship. It was a foreign thing to him and how he was brought up. And it took a lifetime. And I think I've shared my testimony. At 16, I came to Jesus through some really wonderful people that came alongside me and helped me in a lot of different things. But it was the strangest thing because they loved each other. Kind of what this church does to everybody that walks through these doors here. They were doing that to me, and that was very foreign, very different. And so with that, you know, we grow up in a household. Could you turn it down just a hair? I think might be good there. And so I grew up in a household where condemnation was just sport. It was kind of a thing that we just did. And so here I'm with a group of people that aren't in the condemnation. There aren't coming after me with things I should do right. In our household, you always waited for that hammer to come down. And so I kept waiting for that hammer to come down, especially when I went to this church camp. And they weren't pressuring me either. So they were just loving on me just enough, but they also gave me a little bit of space too. And that was just a, turned my world upside down is what that did. So I had an idea in my head. You know, those first 7 years you grow up, you learn a lot just from what family you're in. And then you go through the presence of the world as you go to school and what's right, what's wrong, what you should do, what's important. And then you get into life or get into a marriage, and that other person you get married to also has a long life of experiences and so forth, and they bring that to the marriage. Even though I had Jesus in my heart, I had to renew my mind, right? But I found out through life that I didn't have the strength to renew my mind. I thought I did. I tried to adjust my Christian life and the patterns I was seeing with those folks that were around me, and having a lot of failure in that process. But I kept being encouraged, and I had folks start telling me stories of their struggles, and that helped a lot. And one of the things I kept being told was go back to the Word of God and saturate yourself with that. And so that really helped a lot.
The world has a way of labeling people. Our enemy, Satan, as a roaring lion, is on the prowl, convincing people his label is true and permanent. He seeks to defeat us either through shame at our label or pride in our label. But God provides for us a new identity. He calls us loved, forgiven, justified, accepted in Christ. He calls us by our names, and he calls us to himself. When Jesus died on the cross, he paid our sins in full. The redemption he offers is so much more than just erasing the sins of our past. It's also giving us a new identity, today and forever. Yes, Satan continues to battle. Christians and churches sometimes struggle. The courts and legislatures are attempting to redefine right and wrong. But the gospel changes lives. And it is only the gospel that can change lives. The world and the devil may want to label us, but it is the Creator who gets to define and name his creation. You are not who the world says you are. You are who God says you are.
How appropriate that we were singing the song Chain Breaker. Now, I didn't tell Savannah what I was going to be talking about today, but I just love it how the Holy Spirit helps line things up. So in his word, it gives us the foundation. And here I'm 66 years old now, and I still work through the foundations. I found myself time after time coming back to that place of the foundation, and that it's God's word. And the very thought that Jesus is taking time out to be with Fred,
was unfathomable for me to really wrap my head around for a lot of years, that the God that created this universe planted himself in our hearts. So I think something that I've really been learning this year, especially as I look at my other brothers and sisters, is when I look at you, I see Jesus in your heart. Now, I always didn't look at the life that way. You know, I came from a life of sarcasm and condemnation and all that. And so it took a lot of years to work through that. But God, little by each, renews our mind. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. And see, the new has come. God is not a liar. But you hear Satan telling us that, well, you don't really have Jesus, and you don't deserve it, or you messed up, or you offended somebody. Yeah, we do those things. Those things happen in life. I don't think there'd be a marriage in this world that would survive. Maybe very few people, if we just were perfect, right? Because the reality is, in our marriages, we fight with each other. We have our ways. We have to undo some of the things we were brought up with. And that takes a lifetime. And I think the thing that really changes it for me is the mercy that God has. In Romans, we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be rendered powerless, so that we may no longer be enslaved to sin, since a person who has died is free to sin. So we think about that ceremony of baptism, that we're dunked into the water, dying to ourselves and be lifted out. Do we always feel like we are lifted out of sin? No, we struggle with different things. Are we held accountable when Jesus forgives us? Does he remember some of our sin? Does he remember, well, you've been forgiven up to this point, but the ones you're going to do tomorrow, you're not quite forgiven of? No, you're forgiven. Hard for us to really accept that, to draw that in. In Ephesians 1, 7 through 8, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he richly poured out on us, that all wisdom and understanding, or with all wisdom and understanding. So the very God that created this world, that knows us inside and out, knew us before we were born, was thinking about us as he lined out Jesus coming into this world to pay the price for our sin. They tried everything else. They did the law. We couldn't keep the law. We got frustrated. Gave Israel the guide to be the light to the world, right? There's a lot of Old Testament scripture that talk about treating people good and bringing them in, drawing them in. And that tends to go away with all people, not just Israel, but all of us. We can get stuck into a family unit and get locked in there. We can get stuck in these walls of this church and think this is my whole world. But it's really not how God designed it. God designed us to be Jesus to this world. We can't do it in our strength. Fred fails 100% of the time. I know you guys are probably better than I am in this world, but I'm still failing 100% of the time when I trust myself to do this stuff. Even coming up here to preach, do you guys think I like doing this? No, because I have to tell on myself. And that's not always fun. But when God just says do something, go do it. My heart's warmed every time Vic gets up to preach. He's definitely got a gift for it. And I love that. And I praise God for those things. So there's people that have different types of gifts. I'm more of a teacher than a preacher. So I do it for a living, teaching. So to come up here is a little awkward, but I know God will give me the strength. I just trust him for that. So Ephesians 1 through 4. For he chose us in him. He chose us in him. You must be awfully important. He chose you in him. Before the foundation of the world, before we even existed,
to be holy and blameless, to love before him. What a calling that is. Are we perfect at it? Nope, but his grace is sufficient. We judge ourselves. We put parameters. A friend of mine reminded me, he was asking me to do a resume. I rejoined the Rotary Club. And he goes, that looks like a resume. It doesn't look like your bio, who you are. He goes, this is not who you are. You're not this fire chief retired. That's not who you are. That was just your job. So sometimes we'll identify in the career that we did or identify in something else other than who we are. Fred is a 66-year-old man who loves Jesus. And because of that love for Jesus, our marriage survives, and we've learned to love each other, because now when I look at Kelly, I see Jesus in her. Rather than judging her for her performance, performance-based is not God's base. And it's a struggle. I work through it, but by his grace, we continue to go forward. I love that part about him. Romans 8:15. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Instead, you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. Now, some of you may not have a very good daddy, so that's hard to compare that to. But he is the most awesome, loving daddy. Sometimes we don't feel God is close to us, right? Because I'm messing up too bad. Or things aren't quite going right. Or I'm just in a bad mood. Is God true to his word? He is. Does he ever really leave us? I heard a story. Yeah, so God with us. And so there's this couple riding down the street, and they're in a pickup truck with a bench seat in there. And a husband and wife were driving down the road. And the wife said, well, remember the day when we just sit up next to each other all the time? And how neat that was, the romantic feeling, the love. Sometimes we interpret love to be feelings. And the husband looked over and said, I'm still sitting in the same place I did when we were driving down the road back then. And it wasn't a slam to her, but it lets us know that sometimes our life experiences can change the mental status of how we think about things. And I often hear people, and if I look at the word of God correctly, I want to be closer to God. Can you tell me physically how that is possible when the Holy Spirit of God is inside of you? Can you get closer than that? No, but our minds could be somewhere else, right? And that's just reality. So God is there, ready, posed, and just waiting for you, through his grace, to scoot up next to him in the pickup truck. Right? That's pretty awesome when you think about that. Because all these things I share with you, I don't have my act together. I have a way of getting on people's nerves and upsetting them or saying dumb things. But by God's grace, you still love me unconditionally. Not because Fred's perfect, but Fred is the son, the heir of God himself, because God says I am. I haven't earned anything in that realm. And so we all have that potential. You know, sometimes we look at different people with different leadership abilities, and I think that perspective comes into play when you look at us as a body of Christ. We all have our place. So we all don't do the same thing. But for the power of God to operate in you is 100%. The only thing we do to hold that back is we don't think we're worthy. The fact is we're not. But because we have confessed and drawn close to Jesus, he loves us. I remember looking at Ian when he was just a little guy, and you know, he fell. And one of our counselors that told Kelly and I, says, you'll understand God's love when you see your child doing something. And they'll mess up or fall because they're trying to walk or whatever. And you'll smile and you'll get a glimpse of how God looks at us, even as adults. He still has joy when he sees us struggling through a thing and then we have success. He looks back on that and goes, that's my child. Powerful stuff, isn't it? So Romans 8:16 through 17, the Spirit himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. And if children, also heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. So your performances won't get you there. You're already there. I love that part. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heaven in Christ. That's a lot of promises coming out of God's word, huh? And we hear different things. Doesn't really matter what church you get raised up into. We hear traditions of the church. Or we hear things. If you wear shorts, you're going to hell. You go to a dance and you're going to hell. All these different things. And so, but then you look back and you look at the testimony of the Old Testament characters. And being a little legalistic when I was younger, I just thought, how in the world does God even love David? I mean, he went and got his general killed and had sex with his wife. How is that even okay? But what I didn't understand at that age was God had relationship with David because David repented and came back to him. I messed up. I really did. And there's consequences for those things we mess up in. However, the relationship with God grew as a man after my own heart. Even Abraham, some of the stuff you read that he did, and you're thinking, what in the world? But they knew how to come back to him. It wasn't about a performance of sacrifice. It was about a relationship drawing close together. Now, we have a whole different perspective under this new covenant. Once Jesus died, there was a price paid that brought us a new covenant where now we didn't have to go to a priest. Now we're going to the Holy Spirit inside of us, Jesus inside of us. And that's who you are. Every one of you is Jesus inside of you. This building was empty. The Spirit of God came in as soon as the first person walked in. That blows my mind. And in Ephesians, he also raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavens in Christ Jesus, so that in our coming age he might display the immeasurable riches of his grace through his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. That's what people see when they walk through this door, when you greet someone and just love on them, not knowing who they are, but just welcoming them there. And some of us come in through these doors and not feeling really great about ourselves, and yet you still love on us. That's Jesus in demonstration in life. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. So sometimes just doing the will of God is just loving on someone that you don't like. That takes a miracle, right? And God is a God of miracles. And those are some of the things we get to see. Have you ever been in a conversation where you had something that really bugged you? And I think of just driving down the road and someone cut me off. And inside, that guy, he did that. And then I just feel the conviction of God say, I want you to pray for him. He might be having a bad day. Well, that transformed me in a heart second. Now, success rate on that, maybe 10 in 100. For me. So we're in process, we're in progress, but it's through relationship It's not about our performance. And I just love that about God. All right, flashing back into the Gospels. John 14, 16 through 17. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. The word is unable to receive him, or the world is unable to receive him, because it doesn't see him and know him. But you do know him, because he remains with you and will be with you. So you're going out, leaving this building, going out into this world. Jesus is going with you. And people are really hurting in this world. They're seeing a lot of hard things. And so you showing up with the Holy Spirit of God in you is like a candle sitting on a hill at night. You could see that candle from a long distance away. Even if you don't think you're perfect, go. If you're broken, go. Be available. Just go. Love on people. The Spirit of God, whether you're using words or not, is doing his thing. He is touching people's heart. I don't have to convince anybody of anything. I think I may have shared this years ago when I was my legalistic Christian. I got to know the word pretty well. And had a little bit of pride going on with that. And I remember having a debate with a gentleman at work. And we argued case studies, evidence demands a verdict, all those things for 3 weeks straight. You know what he told me after the 3 weeks? Not you won. Well, wait a minute. Shouldn't you be convinced of Christ at this point, of all my hard work and all my flashing God's word in your face? And no. No, that didn't touch him. So it's not about convincing people if they only read this or if they would just understand. It's not. It's about us being available. Your sacrifice of time to be with someone else is more powerful than your intimate knowledge and wisdom. Be there. Love on somebody. Because that's what's foreign in this world. It turned Rome upside down. These Christians loved. They didn't understand this loved thing. And yet it turned the whole nation around into a Christian nation eventually. So in this world of the stuff we see in social media, boy, it gets your goat, doesn't it? And yet, that's not what's going to change it by putting all these things out there and all that. It's what's going to change it is you meeting with somebody and having a time with them, spending a little bit of time with them, giving them something they're probably not used to, and that is love. As I reflected back when I was 16, they shared love with me. That was very foreign. And the first time somebody hugged me, I think I locked up. Then after a couple years, I learned to do it with my narcissistic dad, who was really hurt when he was young as well, and that probably brought him into that world. And I remember at 17, God just telling me to love him. Just love him. That's all I want you to do is just love him. I didn't know what that meant. And then it took a lifetime, and we had those times together. But God is a God of miracles. 4 days before he passed, he was 82, he gave his life to Jesus. In the 70s, he asked for forgiveness for the things he'd done. He just didn't know where to come with all that. It just took a lifetime. Boy, I had no idea when he told me at 17, just love him. I just want you to love him. Because I was asking God to straighten him out. I wasn't even straightened out. But God is a God of miracles. All right, I'm going to show you another little video here, and Paul's going to read the words to us, so it makes it a little bit more personal. I am reflecting back on an illustration that was done by Ken Ham for Creation Ministries, and it shows two castles. You got Satan's castle over here, and you got God's castle over here, and Satan's firing all these cannons at us, and then you look at this castle. We're firing a few cannons at Satan, but we're firing a lot of cannons at our own castle. Because that is the character of humans at times, is to take on a character God never says we are. And we're struggling. And even in that, God has grace through that process. This is how he looks at us. He doesn't look at us as failing or barely making it Christian. That does not exist in God's kingdom. It's all in. It's not partway in. Does that mean we don't go through hard times? We have heartbreaks. We go through pains. We see suffering. All those things are still there. The difference is that you have the God of this universe in your heart and every one of you. So my hope and prayer is as you look at each other, spouses, as you look at each other, you see Jesus there. You see Jesus there. In 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. Oh, okay. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? I'm not arguing with God. He says that my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Who is in you? Whom you have from God? God's Holy Spirit. You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God with your body. In that resurrection, we died to ourselves. Some of the old habits we still have, the old man that pops out every once in a while, of just things that you've been learned in your brain for years. And it just takes time to unlearn that. And God's grace is full in that process. John 14, 26, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have told you. So the Spirit of God himself is talking with you as you're spending time in his word, learning about him, letting our minds be renewed. He's right there with you. You don't need Fred to help you with anything. God will do it direct. In fact, God does a better job when Fred does keep his mouth shut most of the time. Because he's God. I love that part. Galatians 6, or 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit, if you could read along with me, please. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. Wow. Pretty amazing. So my identity, and this is reflecting to you, know who you are by who God says you are. Not about the haunting spirits of things parents may have said to you, or maybe a spouse has said, or a friend that just had a hard time and lashed out at you. Just know that they may be hurting. Let that spirit of empathy develop in you towards people who are hurting or caustic. It's okay to have boundaries against that stuff to protect yourself as well. With that, church, be Jesus. Let him. You can't earn it. You can't make yourself like him. Let the Holy Spirit do his work of renewing our minds. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love. And Lord, I thank you for your church body here. More and more as I mature, I'm seeing Jesus in all my brothers and sisters. Father, my version of things has no bearing compared to your word and what you tell us we are. Lord, I stand on that because the world has nothing to offer, but you offer everything. The fact that you moved into our hearts still blows my mind, Father, but you did. Your word says you have. And Lord, I just want to believe your word, not my feelings, not my struggles, but who you are. Help me to keep my eyes on Jesus. And Lord, that's a miracle in itself. Bless our body in Jesus' name. Amen.